Hello, my name is Zachary Litz, and I play Nugget Ironbeard.
Hi, I'm Kimberly Stevens, and I play Tippletoe Cobblelob.
Hi, I'm Felicity Busso, and I play Marza Raneth.
I'm Michael Kajori, and I play Florian Runions.
Hi, I'm Joseph Musso, your Dungeon Master. Thank you for listening to the All D20 Podcast. Now, let the story begin.
All of you are sleeping, dreaming dreams. Tippletoe, you're dreaming of the first Academy Award you won at the Wizard Tower in the Empire of Greer, and how excited and proud you were. Nugget, you're dreaming of rivers of ale, beautiful clouds of brandy, birds made out of chocolate candies filled with liquor. You just wistfully snooze away. Florian, you have nightmares. There are shadow creatures clawing at your space. There are shadow creatures clawing at Midgey. There are these demon shadow things that you just fought that seem to be sinking deeper and deeper into your subconsciousness, filling you with fear and doubt. It's a very, very restless sleep. And you will take 1 point of exhaustion when you wake up. Marza, you have this deep, calm, and comforting sleep. You feel an unknown presence surround you. It fills you with a strange whispering light. You feel it whisper words of magic into your body, into your skull. You can't quite make out what they're saying, but they seem to be getting louder and louder. You see a time before you are a knight. Time of unrest and discomfort. You see you, but you see you as a little girl. She finds scraps of food behind the bakery dump heap. It's a piece of bread, a great find, and something that you haven't found in days. Starving. You want to immediately eat and just absorb all of this nutrient, food, in your body. As you're about to take the first bite, three older, bigger street bullies approach. One of them is a half-orc named Bruntus. The adult you knows what the younger you is thinking. He hits the hardest. You need to run. You need to run now. Immediately you take off. They give chase. But because you haven't eaten in weeks, you're filled with a renewed vigor as you run through the streets of the Rat's Nest Alley. You make a dash to the left. You head to the right. You dash between two talking orc vendors, underneath another vendor carrying a bag of flour. You run through the adult version of you, not seeming to notice. You want to reach out to the younger version of yourself. You want to tell her that everything's fine. And that what happens next is not her fault. But all you can do is watch in silence as this comforting feeling fills you. As soon as you turn, you see the little girl immediately bump into a cart. Apples fall onto the ground. There's an evil, wicked merchant that has always been rude to the little Marza. Calling her scum, calling her thief, disgusting person that should never exist on this earth. But little Marza knows what is right and true, and she tries to help the merchant and pick up the apples. Unfortunately for her, the merchant screams, "Thief! Trying to steal my apples and my bread? Thief! Gods! Gods! Quickly come!
Get this thing away, this scum of the earth. Get it out of my sight and make sure it's whipped properly for stealing from me.
Looking around, fear in your eyes as this little girl. You're immediately ripped out of the spot that you're in, grabbed roughly by the guards, and taken to a cell. Fades. There's little Marza, tied, hands and feet, in a position so that they can whip her back. One lash, the sting just sends you into a full rage. I didn't steal the bread. Second lash, you're filled with vengeance. I didn't steal the bread. By the ninth lash, you're filled with an anger that you quickly push down. I don't want to be like my mother. I don't want to be like my mother. You wait for another lash. Nothing happens. Another moment passes. Nothing happens. Dwarven woman with red hair and a red beard looks at you. That'll be enough of that nonsense. This be my apprentice, and if she should be striking her, you'd have to strike me first. You got that? I'm Peslia. I'm the Knight of Valanthus, and you will respect my wishes. The memory fades to a very dark room. You see a pedestal with a beautiful sword. That sword has this awing presence that beckons you towards it. You move towards this item. You lovingly caress the hilt of the weapon.
Well, 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 Marza. It's a pleasure to be your acquaintance.
Oh, who are you?
I am Sir Willard, of course. Ha ha! It seems to me that you made some interesting choices in that memory. Do you feel that you did the right thing, helping the merchant with those apples?
I do.
Even though you were whipped, ridiculed, and treated like pond scum, I think was the proper terminology.
I knocked them over. It was the right thing to do.
Very well. Then maybe our destinies will be intertwined.
The dream fades. The rest of you wake up. As you open your eyes, you notice you are no longer in the jungle. You are now in a very dank cave. You hear water dripping and forming in the distance. You see a pool of water that some of you are actually around. And at the mouth of the cave, in all of his glory, you see, some of you for the first time, a centaur.
Whoa! I knew you guys were real. Where am I? Hey, where are we?
I don't know.
Where's my alcohol?
Marza, friend or foe? Do you know?
I cast,
Oh, this Ponzi thing helped us. But where's my alcohol? You! Lizard, centaur, thingy.
Hello.
Hi.
Why are you here?
You know, I'm not really sure even how I got here.
I cast Divine Sense.
You do not sense any evil presence emanating from this being. But it does feel celestial.
Do you know how we got here?
Why are you on my island?
Oh, well, that's a story. I mean, well, we were taking care of this ghost ship, and then suddenly we weren't on the ghost ship, and then we fell, and some of us got hurt on our little bottoms, and then we ended up on the beach, and then there were these shadow demons and fiends, and then we went to the jungle, and oh my, I'm sorry, I talk a little too much.
Why did you bring the things to my island?
I didn't know we brought them.
What things are you referring to?
The things that you guys were losing to.
We don't know what those are.
What are you talking about losing? We kicked their asses.
There were 12 more where the four scouts appeared. Had I not saved you, you would all be dead.
Well, thank you for that, by the way. I'm glad to be in one piece. My familiar's really glad to be in one piece, and I'm sure the rest of the party is too.
He gives a curt nod.
So it's a long story.
Why did you save us?
Because of you, Marza Ronith. I saw your dream. And that thing that is attached to your side is a very powerful thing. And if you do not use it correctly, it will destroy us all.
I pull the sword out and I attune to it.
Or you notice to. You're already attuned.
Oh.
It happened while you were sleeping. And here is the sheet of what it does. If you did not bring the things to my island, then something has happened to my lover.
Well, that's a personal question. Where's my alcohol?
I don't know, dwarf.
Who's your lover?
She's the other guardian of this island. She helps keep things like that out. If she is not present, then things like that can enter. I can drive them away, but I cannot do it alone.
All I know is that a series of unfortunate events have brought us here, and our paths have intertwined.
How can we help?
Very well. There are three trials. No, I'm just kidding. There's not three trials.
Whew.
I'm not sure what happened to my wife. I do know that she frequents the area on the top of the mountain in the middle of the island. It is very dangerous. And that it is very hot for you mortals.
Well, then why don't you go there?
I must stay here and protect the island. Now that she is gone. And he starts walking out of the mouth of the cave toward the center of the jungle.
Hey, wait, didn't you want our help?
I told you where she's at. Find her.
Okay.
Or don't. Your choice.
Hey guys, I guess we're going to the center of the island.
Not a person of many words, is he?
Give or take.
And as you see him step towards the jungle, his apparitional form begins to fade. You guys notice from the mouth of the cave, light kind of sheds itself and spreads across the top of the jungle portion that you can see that almost looks like a shield. It's very translucent with a rainbow kind of texture.
Ooh, pretty. So, off to the center of the island?
Yes.
I don't know how we're going to handle that heat that he was mentioning. That's, you know. I don't know. We'll just have to see. Play it by ear, I suppose.
Stupid lizard centaur.
Well, he did save our lives, so.
I mean, I can cool us off, like, one little bit at a time. Doesn't really help too much, but I can try.
We might have to douse ourselves in water or something. I don't know. We'll just have to see.
All right, road trip.
Let's go and find out.
Sounds good to me.
Okay, so currently you guys are in the cave. You see the pool of water and the mouth of the cave. Behind you, it seems like the cave just goes on indefinitely. And then in front of you, there's the mouth of a cave and a very thick foliage jungle. What do you do?
Let's head towards the jungle.
Well, let's figure out what direction the mountain is from where we are.
Do you think there's anything in this cave?
I don't know, but maybe this water's magical. Can I jump in it?
Okay, so you jump in and it makes a big splash.
And you're wet.
Well, and maybe that'll help. And then I hop out all proud of myself, thinking that I did something special, and I start trancing out of the cave.
You're now cursed for 6 days. No. You're now the opposite sex that you were before.
Oh.
Spring of Drowning Man. No. Nothing happens. So you guys head out to the jungle?
Well, want to see what direction from the mouth of the cave to the mountain. Because if the mountain is right behind us, then going through the cave would make sense.
All right. Well, it's very thick, dense foliage. Like, you would need to either climb a tree or have some means of getting high enough to see.
I sit down, I go into a trance, and Batty flies out.
Okay. So Batty's the name of the...
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Batty and Midgey.
Yes.
Okay, so you close your eyes, you go into a trance, and you feel yourself entering the mind of your familiar. You feel this sense of darkness as your familiar is utilizing echolocation. You go into this trance and you start flying above the tree line. You're seeing different types of animals and creatures through echolocation that are throughout the jungle. You fly higher and higher and higher. You get to a certain point where you're flying around and you're doing echolocation and you're starting to get the lay of the land. You realize that you are at the cave that is near the center of the mountain, but it's not connected to the center of the mountain. It's off to the west. So if you look to the east, you will actually see the mountainside. And there is what looks like some semblance of a game trail, but it is at least 100 leagues of cutting through foliage before you even get to the hunting trail to reach the beginning to start your trek up the mountain.
Whew. Oh boy, this is gonna be a little bit difficult. There's a lot of foliage, a hunting trail, and then the mountain over to the east.
Sure.
Is the mountain behind us?
No, it's to the side.
So the cave that we're in wouldn't lead to it?
As far as you know, no. But, I mean, not sure. Could it possibly lead to it? You don't know unless you go all the way in. However, you do know that there's another path that you can take that is a game trail, and it's on the opposite side of where you're at.
Well, do we want to go outdoors or indoors?
My vote is for the game trail.
Yeah, it looks like a pretty clear-cut way. I mean, we'll have to cut our way through, but I think we can handle it.
That's fine.
All right, we're going outside.
All right, so you guys step outside into the jungle.
I already regret making this decision.
It's hot.
I'm going to go back inside.
It is extremely hot. It is sticky. It is Florida in the middle of July after a rainstorm. Genitalia attaching to your leg. Hot.
Let's go back in the cave.
Oh, hey, I did not say that you could bite me. That's my blood.
mosquitoes everywhere.
I'm going to Eldritch Blast the mosquitoes.
So you're casting small versions of Eldritch Blast, and it's just a giant cloud of mosquitoes. So as soon as you hit one, like 30 more replace it, and it's just clouds following you.
Oh, crap.
Sure we don't want to stay inside? Maybe the cave goes somewhere, you know, us dwarves know things.
Or maybe it goes absolutely nowhere.
The mini version is called Eldritch Zap.
So you've turned yourself into a bug zapper?
Yeah. I even push him 10 feet back, too.
Awesome. All right, so before you is a tremendous amount of foliage, flora and fauna, very thick. You're going to definitely have to hack away with the makeshift machetes that you made periodically. First, I want to know who's going to lead the party for survival. Who has the highest in survival, and who's going to lead the party? Because you're going to be the one that makes the rolls and determines how...
I got a 5 in survival.
I have a 3.
Okay, so it looks like...
You're all dead!
Nugget is taking charge.
I'll be behind Nugget.
Your first challenge is a giant wall of bamboo.
I think this reminds me of Survivor.
Yeah,
we're on an island.
Yeah, my personal item is... my machete that I will use to kill you all.
Okay.
All right, guess we're...
So you're going to hack? So go ahead and make an attack roll.
Well, I wanted to stay inside, but...
Nineteen.
All right, so you hack away about 15 feet. It takes you about 10 minutes to get about 15 feet into the jungle.
Wow.
And you just see... more and more foliage. Go ahead and make another just straight survival check to see if you can find an easier path now that you've...
16.
Okay, so you managed to find a semi-easier path. Looks like there's some sort of game that uses the same type of path. And it looks like the safest way to go at this point in time based off of your survival skills. But you're a sailor. You're not a jungler.
Nope.
So what do you do?
You sure you don't want to go back in the cave?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
Bastards.
Oh, by the way, as you guys woke up, congratulations, you're all level 4.
Woohoo!
All right.
Should have mentioned that. I apologize. Got lost in the narrative.
My blast got blastier.
Yeah.
All right, well then, we're following the trail.
Okay, so you start heading towards the trail. I would need everybody to make a perception check.
14.
19.
20. 18. Marza, you actually hear growls coming from somewhere in the left side of the trail.
Friends, there's growling on my left.
Well, it can get in line.
Oh, my. You are not eating me today, I call out into the jungle.
So far, everything seems fine. Go ahead and make another survival check for me.
7.
All right, so there's definitely a big chunk of foliage that looks pretty safe for you to walk on, so you start leading the party. Everybody make a dexterity saving throw for me.
17. 20.
So you guys stand back as you watch the dwarf just fall into some quicksand that he was leading you all to based off of his survival check. So now you are being sucked into quicksand.
Oh, fucking jungling.
Hey, I've read this somewhere. Don't move.
Crappy pissats.
I have an idea.
Douchemonger.
Can I grab his hand and pull him?
You can go ahead and you can attempt to grab his hand and pull him.
I'll wait for you to try, and then if not, I'm going to try lightning lure.
Okay.
You are not setting me on lightning.
Well, hold on.
Strength check?
19.
Actually, athletics would be proper.
19.
Okay. So you actually managed to pull the dwarf out of the quicksand. However, I'd like you to make just a straight d20 roll for me.
18.
Okay.
I am not taking 18 points of damage.
No, you successfully managed to keep all of your persons on you after you've been pulled through the muck. Okay, so you definitely know that that is not the exact way to go. You can make another survival check to see if you can find a better route.
All right. 11.
So you think to the left of the quicksand is safer.
I stand back, not following just yet.
Puzzles.
So you start walking closer, and you end up seeing a big clearing. It's a big, open, circular clearing where there doesn't seem to be a lot of flora or fauna around you.
But it's, like, dead, or...
It's just an open clearing of kind of slightly tall grass, not tall enough to where you can't see, but that's it. There's no bamboo growing in this spot. Definitely looks like there are some possible tracks, but you can't really make them out.
Okay. This way's safe. Shut up!
Okay, so I follow.
Okay.
Martha follows.
I climb up on Martha because I see all the tall grass and I know I'm not going to be able to see over it. So, yeah.
I don't think it's that tall.
Nah, it's not tall enough to where you can't see, but yeah, it's pretty tall for her.
Oh, okay.
She has to move she has to whack the grass with her machete to be able to see.
Need to get you platform shoes.
I don't think that's so good jungle wear.
Tippletoe, I need you to make a strength roll for me.
15.
A giant fiendish dire tiger jumps out of the clearing, lands on top of you for a pounce attack. It's a 19 to hit.
Do I have time to react with a shield? Or is it...
No, it's a complete surprise attack.
Then it's...
Maybe it just wants to cuddle.
You are now knocked prone. And you take 14 points of claw damage as it rakes its claws into your flesh. Everybody roll for initiative.
Point of exhaustion, if I recall. So what does that mean?
It means all ability checks are at disadvantage.
Okay.
All ability checks are at disadvantage.
Even in initiative? Because I think initiative counts as a dex check.
That's true. It is an ability check. So go ahead and roll your initiative twice and take the lowest number.
Oh, well. There we go.
Okay, so 25 to 20. Tiger goes first.
Oh, shit.
15 to 20.
16.
10 to 15.
14.
The rest?
5. 4.
All right, so the tiger is going to continue its attack. It's going to make a bite attack.
Shield.
Okay, that is a 23 to hit.
Still hits.
For 16 points of damage.
Hey.
As it rips into your flesh. There's now... gore and blood everywhere.
I'm down.
Okay. You immediately take one death mark off, Tippletoe. Nugget, it's your turn.
Okay, let's see.
use a bonus action to cast Healing Word on Tipple Tit. I don't know. Let's see.
Okay. Second level?
No, actually just level one.
First level? Okay.
Let's see. 1d4 plus spellcaster.
Torpedo Tit.
Come down so I can't argue.
Eight health.
Yay!
So you're immediately awake. The wounds have closed up. And you are knocked prone with a giant dire tiger on top of you.
But for my action, I'm going to throw my storm hammer at Fuzzy.
Okay. It snarls.
18.
That's a hit.
Mm-hmm. 13 points of damage. Do you need me to tell you what amount is lightning and thunder, or...
No, it's fine.
Okay.
He doesn't have any special...
Didn't think so. And that being...
Actually, he does. So, what are the two?
Let's see. Lightning and thunder.
Okay, you're fine. Okay. Doesn't matter. All right, Tippletoe, it's your turn. You are knocked prone with a giant dire tiger on top of you.
Kick it in its balls!
Minor illusion grass?
Minor illusion grass? You're going to turn yourself into grass?
Yep.
Okay, isn't there a saving throw for the...
15.
It knows you're not grass.
Shit.
It's
bonus gonna, action. Chill touch.
Okay, that's your special ability. So go ahead.
It's going to smoke you anyways.
Sorry, I wasn't waiting for that.
I think it's attack roll.
Okay. Natural one.
Yep. So get her a card. Thanks, Nord Games.
Oh. Do I just pull one and give you one?
Yeah, the top card.
Did you shuffle them?
I did. I shuffled all these cards.
So I reach my hands out to chill touch, and the effects come onto me. I take 1 necrotic damage.
Okay. So in your flurry of emotion of trying to hide his grass, and you see your target, and unfortunately you mutter the incantation, but you say the last syllable wrong. And instead of it targeting the dire tiger, it immediately targets you. And this cold, unearthly hand wraps around your neck and then scratches you deep for 1 point of necrotic damage. Florian, it's your turn.
Okay, how close am I to the tiger?
I would say that you're about 10 feet away from it.
Okay, so I'm going to try lightning lure.
All right. And that's a constitution save, right?
Let me double check.
Marcia, you're on deck.
Well, once I do lightning lure, did it work?
Well, what's the
DC? What's the DC?
Oh, okay. Gosh.
It would be 15. No, I mean, because that's your
DC. It's against my DC? Okay, so 15.
But what is it? Is it constitution? Is it dexterity? Is it
I think it was wisdom? Strength last time we strength. Checked. Yeah. There it is. Yeah, it's strength.
All right, DC, it rolled a 16.
Oh, okay. So, and then that's my bonus action.
Correct.
Now my regular action, I'm going to do Eldritch Blast it.
Okay, so roll your attack.
14.
That's a hit.
Okay. 7 plus 5, so 12. Takes 12 points. And I'm going to push it back 10 feet.
Okay, so you managed to push it back right off of Tippletoe and out of the fray a little bit. And it is now Mars's turn.
Any attacks of opportunity?
No. Only Tippletoe would, and it's up to you if you want to use like your cleaver or...
Mm-hmm. I'd love to use my cleaver.
Go ahead and use your cleaver then.
Cleave it to beaver.
That is 21 to hit.
That's it.
It must make a DC 15 con save.
It saved. It's a 19. Okay.
Then it takes one damage. Piercing. Oh, two. Sorry, plus one.
You mildly scratch it.
It laughs.
Take that!
It sounds like Secret of Monkey Island music.
Well,
it kind of is.
That's the second largest monkey's head I've ever seen.
You didn't know that the push was coming, so you got it right. You nicked it as it was.
All right, Mars, it's your go. Away.
So I'm going to attack with Sir Willard.
So as soon as you pull the sword out of the sheath, it immediately glows a bright, radiant glow. People around you feel the energy, the holy energy that emanates from this sword. And as soon as you take your swing, you hear, ha ha!
So is this a fiend or undead?
It is not.
Okay, so it's 17.
That's a hit. Well, actually, it's a fiendish dire tiger, so yes, it is a fiend.
Okay, well, it's still a hit. It'd be... Yep, okay. So it's going to be...
2d12 plus your d8. Because it's fiendish. Okay. And then it has to make a what roll?
A strength saving on 15.
Oh, so it fails its strength save.
Okay, so it's ensnared now.
Okay.
So
holy light surrounds it and then pulls it down like some sort of net, some holy radiant net, and holds it in place after you strike it into its side. Blood is gushing out of it right now as it snarls. Angry that its prey is now away from it.
All right, so you take 1d6 piercing.
Okay.
It's 2, so...
29 total?
Yes. And you must use your action to do a strength check to try and break the snare. Okay. Or you can use your action.
I got you. So the tiger can use its action. So the tiger is going to try that. It's its turn now. It rolls 15.
15 is...
All right, so it manages to break the snare, but that's its full action. And Nuggets, your turn.
Okay. How are you doing on health?
Not so good.
How's the tiger looking?
The tiger looks really hurt. Blood is gushing all over the place. It's like this black, liquidy ichor filling basically the jungle. And it's odd because every place that the blood touches, the plants seem to wither and die, and it just leaves this blighted surface.
Ooh, we can use it to clear a path.
That's a really good idea.
Oh my
God. All right, Nuggets, your turn.
Actually, I'm going to cast Toll of the Dead.
Okay, so it makes a... It made a natural 20.
Fuck. All right, that's my turn.
All right, Tip.
I'm really mad at this guy, so I am going to Burning Hands it.
Okay. Mark it off on your spell list, and it's a dexterity save, right?
Yep.
Oh, great. You're going to burn down the jungle around us.
It rolled a 7.
Aha, 15.
15
so,
damage?
No, 15 to pass. Yep. So the damage for Burning Hands is 3d6. 6, and 3. So 15.
So it was 15.
You end up
called it.
Lighting the dire tiger and catching its fur on fire. And it just keeps burning and burning.
Burn, motherfucker, burn!
And there's nothing left but ash. As you've killed
too much for your idea.
Oh.
And destroy the tiger.
Oh, sorry.
And now...
bunch of assholes.
Parts of the jungle are now on fire.
Shit.
It is starting to get hotter and hotter.
Well, you know what? We could still scrape up some of that, probably the goo, maybe.
It's ash.
The goo went to ash.
Everything around it burned up into ash. All right,
and well, everything around it is now on fire. Yeah. So you welcome to go into it. Do you have it?
By the time you think about prestidigitation, there's now 6 or 7 little fires, and they're turning into one big one.
Well, that's not going to work. I don't have enough prestidigitation in me.
To put out the fire, you mean?
That much fire? Nope.
Oh, well...
can you help me?
Well, I could... let's see, do I have prestidigi? I think I have prestidigi.
Then let's do it.
And the double digi?
All right,
so both of you make an arcana roll for me.
Go, go, digi-do. Did you do this? Didgeridoo, actually. Yeah.
20.
Okay. And Florian, what'd you roll?
12. Plus what?
It's your arcana. Arcana is.
Oh, my arcana.
Actually, I'm sorry. That's 25.
Okay, so Tip manages to put out all the fires that she sees. You only manage to put out 2 or 3. And by the time you both turn to the last few fires, they've now spread into a small inferno.
Well, shit.
Can we move forward or the fire is blocking our passage?
The fire is all around you right now, and it's slowly cutting off any semblance of passage.
Well, where's the opening?
The opening is where you're at. You're in the clearing right now where you just fought the dire tiger.
No, I meant...
we'll just burn the place down, and then we'll come.
Behind you, which is towards the area that you were headed, is still not caught on fire quite yet. Let's see. We roll a d6. All right, so... 4 of the 6 squares around you guys are now, if you picture it on the board, 4 of the 6 squares around you guys are now on fire. And they're spreading. So you can start hacking away with the machete to get out of there, or you can figure out a way to handle the fire.
We're not going to be able to outrun the fire, because...
more prestidigitation.
Yeah, let's prestidigitate more, right?
We could just let it burn. I can save us for now with a rope trick.
Oh, you can?
Yeah. Rope trick.
Yeah.
So you mutter words of magic, and then all of a sudden, there is... how high up?
It was 10 feet up, I think.
So we're going to burn the entire jungle down and then just sort of walk through its scalding remains.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Hopefully nothing important is in there.
Right.
I did not picture this happening, but this is pretty awesome.
60 feet high.
Okay, so you managed to cast a spell 60 feet up in the air, and out of the ether pops out this long rope.
Well, start climbing.
Athletics checks for everyone. And we'll keep the same initiative to save time. So, Nugget, you're first. What is your athletics?
17.
Okay, so you actually managed to scramble up the rope. Being a sailor, this is nothing new to you. This is like another day in the night of sea, except it's not moving, so it's actually fairly simple for you. All right, Tip, what did you roll?
5.
Okay, you managed to climb about a third of the way, and then you just slip and fall right back onto the ground. Florian, what did you roll?
6.
All right, so you managed to climb about a third of the way and then slip and fall on the road. This is not your forte. You're not designed to climb. All right, Marza, what did you roll?
14.
All right, so Marza, you it takes you a little bit of time to climb up, but one hand over the other, and remembering your nightly training, and you remember to squeeze your legs together as you climb up the rope, you manage to get to the dimensional circle. All right, so I need both of you to make a dexterity saving throw for me before we move on to the next section.
It's both of you.
Florian and Tip.
13.
I got a 12. Dex save?
Dex save.
Oh, okay. So I got a 17.
Okay. So you managed to get away from the fire, Florian. However, you take 2 points of fire damage as it's starting to succumb towards the bottom and starting to cinch the rope. Both of you go ahead and make another athletics check to see how quickly you can get up to the rope. I will say that the DC is going to get higher and higher the longer it takes for you guys to get up the rope.
Wait, is it magical rope?
It doesn't say it's magical rope.
Okay.
It's just rope.
Okay. So what are we doing?
Trying to climb the rope again.
Okay. Can I use my luck point? What can I do with a luck point?
To have advantage on the roll? Sure. You can definitely use your lucky charm to get advantage for the roll.
Okay.
16.
16? So you actually this time go, oh, that's how you do it, and climb up that rope. One tiny hand over the other, and it takes you a little bit longer than the rest, but you do successfully get up top.
Well, I didn't roll the second one yet, so I rolled.
Okay.
So I don't know. I got a 16 plus, well, a 16. Does that work? Or
that works, but you still burn your luck point regardless of whether or not the first roll is good.
Okay.
If you announce that you're going to use it, it's gone.
Okay.
All right, so you still successfully managed to get to the top of the rope, and now there is an inferno fire in the jungle.
Don't use fire spells in jungles. Don't use fire spells in jungles. Don't use fire spells in jungles. Got it.
Okay, isn't rope trick like the area we're in? Like,
you are now in a pocket dimension.
We are in an
dimension.
Extra-dimensional space.
Yeah, but
we
isn't there...
We can see through a window.
But there's, like, stuff in there, isn't there? Like a couch and...
Nope.
No. Oh. It's just a...
It's a very tightly confined area, dimensional space where you cannot be harmed.
Ugh.
How long does that last?
1 hour.
1 hour.
1 hour, it should... The fire should be at least cleared out in our area.
Not necessarily.
Hopefully.
So you guys are sitting there and you're watching as tons of animals are scurrying away. You look to the right of you and the tiger that was attacking you was defending its poor cubs. And unfortunately, with the fire, the cubs cannot escape. And you watch horrifically as the fire consumes them.
Do you have popcorn?
They are fiends. I don't care.
Nice job there.
I know.
We've got a
Die
view.
Fiends?
This is funny.
We can charge for this.
These very sad puppy kitty eyes.
Fiendish.
Staring
fiendish.
Up at you.
Yeah.
As they catch fire and mew to death.
Bye-bye.
PETA, this is not real.
Who said we were nice?
No hate mail, please.
I hope no one has, like, good alignments.
It's a fiend.
So, these are cubs.
Nope, it's still a fiend.
Yeah, I mean, it's still babies, but yeah. So, you guys sit there, 30 minutes go by, you slowly watch as the jungle just burns. You see all the animals scurrying in the distance, all the birds flying into taking flight to the air. Animals running in all directions as far away from the fire as possible.
It's okay. I call it a controlled burn.
Mm-hmm. Thank goodness none of us are druids.
It's not that very controlled. So
no. No.
It continuously burns and chars. You guys can't smell it yet, but the air is acrid. It is now ashy and destroyed. And as you guys look down, all of a sudden the fire is out. There's a very disapproving centaur standing there, looking up at you with arms crossed.
No, it can't see us.
Head. It can see the extra dimensional space. It can't see you, but it knows where you're at. You're on its island.
Well, I didn't do it.
Shit happens. The fiend was about to kill our friend. The fiendish animal.
All right, so does it look safe to go down?
It looks semi-safe.
All right, then I'm going to...
I don't know about the centaur.
Well, he's going to kill one of you, not me. So I'm going to swing down.
Okay, so you head down. The rest of you come down. You guys staying in there for the rest of the hour.
I'll head down.
Okay.
Well, Marza heads down.
Is it breathable, the air?
You definitely coughing. You know, okay. There's a lot of ash in the air. It's not pleasant. It has that overly acrid, burnt smell.
Oh, so it's like a forge.
Yeah.
Oh, then I'm fine.
You're fine. It's nothing new to you. You're actually smiling because it reminds you of home, which does not please the centaur.
Well, it's kind of like an explosion. I'm okay. And I shoot me down.
What did you do to my home?
Killed a bean.
And it's babies.
You burned down my home.
I'm sorry.
You burned down a piece of me. That animal, that beast, lived peacefully in this jungle.
Oh, well, it wasn't very peaceful. It started.
Very peaceful.
You were its prey.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we fucked it up. Should have picked on someone its own size.
How are we supposed to save your wife if I'm getting killed by a tiger? A fiendish tiger.
Do not burn down my forest again.
Well, of course not. There's none more forest left.
That's we could make that deal.
If you look in the distance, not all of it is on fire. It seems like he used something to put a big chunk of it out. But you did burn probably at least 3 or 4 square miles.
Nice.
That's 4 more square miles we can move.
I cleared a path.
Yeah, you did. You were efficient, let me tell you.
Well, you know.
You see the centaur close his eyes and slam his hooves onto the ground. Everybody make a dexterity saving throw.
Meep.
14. Well, actually, dex save, so 6. Okay.
One's an automatic failure.
Oh, okay.
The earth near you starts to crack, and those of you that failed begin to fall in some sort of pit that is created by this entity. And you take 12 points of bludgeoning damage.
Jesus. Who failed?
Yeah, you didn't
tell. Anybody who rolled below a 15.
Featherfall.
Is that an action? Because you're not going to have enough time to...
12.
If it's a reaction or bonus action, I could possibly give it
reaction.
To you.
I think it's a reaction.
It has to be.
Because it's meant to save you when you're falling.
And how many targets can you target?
It's a reaction. And I choose up to 5 falling creatures within range.
Okay.
Wow. Ha
ha!
So you managed to cast
Featherfall. Don't do that. You're antagonizing the mean centaur.
I didn't do it.
So you managed to prevent the damage from happening, but you guys are feather falling into this pit. And you see it close its eyes, and then all of the burned, charred wood of the forest begins to rip itself out of the ground and start filling the pit that you guys are feather falling into.
What?
So we're being buried alive?
Wait, so it's like everything's pouring on top of us?
Correct. Everything is pouring on top of you.
Oh, well.
As you guys are being pulled into this pit.
Yeah, I'm forced to sit here and watch. This sucks.
And as the things are ripped out of the ground, new flora and fauna appear.
Oh, shit.
And it fills the jungle back with the same vibrancy it was before it was destroyed. And those of you that have fallen into the pit have to make a strength check to climb your way out of this mess.
All right.
You still take 12 points of damage.
What?
From all the stuff falling on top of you.
From the stuff that fell on you.
21.
You successfully managed to find an area that's not too crowded with burnt foliage and managed to scramble out of the pit.
12.
You are still struggling inside of the pit, having a hard time breathing. There's your first round.
Okay, so try again.
Corey?
So, what kind of check? Strength?
Strength.
5.
All right, so same issue. You're not able to find anything and you're having trouble breathing. There's your first round of suffocation.
Can I make a pocket of space with mold earth?
You can attempt to do that.
20. Okay. 20.
Okay, so you actually managed to climb the second way out, but you suffer 1 point of exhaustion from doing so.
Can I reach in and try and grab Felorian's hand?
You can't see him. Okay. All you see is dead trees and blackness from the things that fell on top of him. So you're going to try and make a pocket of mold earth? Go ahead and make an arcana roll for me.
12.
So you manage to mutter words of magic and create a pocket.
and it bought you one more round, but you are starting to run out of air.
Okay. So can I keep moving upward?
Make another strength check.
I mean, using another Mold Earth, basically.
Well, the Mold Earth is primarily rock, and you're surrounded by burnt flora and fauna. So you made Mold Earth to create a little pocket of the dirt next to the flora and fauna, but in order for you to use it like a climbing tool, you are still going to slowly start suffocating.
Can I use Eldritch Blast to punch a hole?
You can definitely try that.
What am I doing?
Just make an attack roll.
Okay, I rolled a 3, plus, so 10.
Okay, so you end up taking a blast, and it hits pieces of debris. You have now 2 rounds suffered of suffocation. What's your constitution modifier?
My constitution is 0.
0. Okay, so it's a 10?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's 11, but yeah.
Oh, your constitution's 11?
Yeah.
Okay, so you have 9 more rounds before you suffocate.
Okay.
So go ahead and... What are you going to do now?
I'm going to... I can't use Mold Earth again, right?
Because you can attempt to do it. Like I said, making an Arcana check.
Okay.
Trying to get towards the actual dirt, not the trees that have fallen on you.
So what I'll do is I'll go sideways then, okay. Right?
Sure.
Okay.
Or just try to climb out.
Okay. Let's see. So 5.
Okay. So you unsuccessfully managed to dig any further, and you're now on the 3rd round of suffocation.
Okay. I'll just try. I'm going to try. What do I have to do to climb up? What kind of check do I need?
If you're just trying to climb out of the rubble, then it's just a straight strength check.
Okay, so might as well try that.
Or athletics.
Or yeah, you could. I could Neither say athletics things. Is similar. Whatever's higher.
I'll use the strength.
Yeah.
Neither of them do me any good. So, okay, I got a natural 20.
Okay, so you managed to actually pull yourself out, but you suffer 2 points of exhaustion in doing so.
Okay, so now I have 3 points of exhaustion.
Did you already have a point prior?
Yeah, remember?
So you have 3 points of exhaustion. You are pretty useless.
So I need to basically sleep 3 days.
No. It's... Or a long rest will take care of all of
them. Oh, yeah.
No, so it'll take care of 1 point.
Oh, so, will?
Yep.
Oh. Yeah, so given that I need only 4 hours of rest, is that correct?
It'll be 1 per day.
So I can only reduce 1 per day.
So you have disadvantage on all of your attack rolls and saving throws. Your speed is halved. And you have disadvantage on all of your ability checks.
Okay.
You are wiped out. In fact, you just fall deep into unconscious sleep as soon as you take your first gasp of air.
Okay.
Well, are one of you going to kick him like you kicked me?
He didn't drink.
This was your doing. Oh, not mine.
Don't look at me. Look at her.
All of you, this is your doing.
You wanted us to do it.
Do not burn down my forest. And he starts stepping back into the forest. You guys do also notice, which is very interesting, that every step that he takes, flora and fauna seem to appear, like flowers start growing. It looks very Princess Mononoke. As he walks closer and deeper into the forest and disappears.
I move over to Florian and I kneel down and I close my eyes. Azuth, please touch Florian and bring him some sort of peace while he rests. Help him better himself in this moment. I apologize for everything I've done. If you might need to take it out of me, that's fine. Just help my friend.
All right, make a religion check for me.
17.
All right, so you feel the energy that is primarily used for your spells come from Azuth as it fills you with a warmth, but it has no effect on Florian. What do you guys do?
Well, we may as well make camp because, you know, Skippy here ain't going nowhere.
Yeah.
Yep.
I create a minor illusion of grass over him. Okay. And then lay my backpack on the rest of him so
let's
that...
Let's bury him alive!
So that he's not seen.
Okay.
Just in case something happens, I don't need him getting attacked while he's in this state.
So, the rest is very... very difficult for you, Florian. You see and feel images of demons taking Midgey and slicing her into pieces, and then her coming back and then screaming in agony as they're whipping her with lashings and taking their claws and rending her flesh apart. And you just feel this deep, like, unnerving unrest of this island or whatever's going on. Like, there's a connection between you and this island and those things in that cloud that are just making you feel just so despairing.
I'm so sorry, Midgey. I'm so sorry that you suffered like this. Please forgive me.
And these nightmares just keep happening over and over and over again. But then the warm glow of Azuth seems to fill you, and the nightmares seem to dissipate briefly, and the Sphinx, your patron, appears before you. She doesn't say anything. She just nods. And for the first time since you arrived on the island, you go into a deep sleep, deep dreamless sleep. So you guys are making camp here?
Yep.
Okay. Are you guys, you know, kicking the burnt cup carcasses out of the way?
Oh, sure, why not?
Well, they probably got renewed and also now.
Oh, crap, there's another... They're back?
Yeah, they're probably back.
No, no. They're gone. Just the flora and fauna has returned. So day eventually turns to night. You guys set up camp. Insects are all around you buzzing. You hear crickets. You hear sounds in the jungle of growls and trees moving. What's that? What's that? What is your order of watch?
I take first watch.
I'll take last.
So, Marge, you're going to take second?
Yep. Right.
So, first watch, go ahead and make a perception check for me.
Can I do it through my bat?
Yep.
Whatever the bat stats, I'm sure it's not that great.
No, so you don't notice anything. So the watch continues. You hear very strange sounds that you've never heard before. It's got you on edge, but nothing seems to happen. Comes to the time where 4 hours have passed.
I go to sleep and let somebody else watch.
Okay, so Marza would be the person that you would wake up?
Mm-hmm.
So you wake up, Marza. Now it's your watch.
Okay.
So go ahead and make a perception check for me.
19.
You hear in the distance some very strange, like, laughter.
Soon.
Soon.
Yeah, soon.
Okay, I continue listening.
So you just hear throughout the jungle in different spots, the same message over and over, just laughter.
Soon, soon, soon.
And different spots. It's very faint. And if you listen too hard, you almost don't hear it. You just sit and wait?
Yes.
So 4 hours passes. It's time for you to wake up Nugget.
I wake him up, and as I wake him up, I let him know about the whispering. Or the sounds, the laughter.
That's probably just some pussy out there.
Just keep your eye out.
Well, of course I... What do you think I'm gonna do?
No drinking.
What have I got to drink? Oh, I miss my drink.
Go ahead and make a perception check for me. You hear in the distance what sounds like laughter and mugs of ale clanking together and people having a merry time. And it's a little ways away from the camp. But you hear it. You can hear people laughing and, ha ha, pour me another! Ha ha ha, yeah!
Hold on.
Hold on, hold on. I got a coin for this.
So, Nugget pulls out a gold coin.
Okay. So, heads I go, tails I stay. Crap. I go.
Do I have a rough idea of which direction it is?
You feel like it's going towards the northeast of where you're currently at in the camp, and there's just like clinking and merry sounds and people cheering and huzzah and lots of jovial drinking. As you get closer, you hear like bardic sounds and you hear like a campfire.
Now, I'm not going far enough that I can't see our camp. I keep that in my eyes, but...
As soon as you step into the jungle, your camp disappears.
Do I hear him walking away?
Since make a perception check with disadvantage.
Can Batty alert me to him leaving?
Not unless you told him to beforehand.
I told him to wake me just in case. I would do that every night.
In this instance, I'm going to say no.
Okay.
But in next instance, if you tell me ahead of time that that's his action, then I'll accept that.
Okay.
Yeah, I got a nat one.
Okay.
All right, well, fuck it. I'm going to go find out what's going on.
All right, so you're like... tromping through the forest. Do you, are you trying to be quiet or are you just heading towards
the... Oh, there is no stealth about me.
So you're just like clomp, 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 clomp. And you find yourself in an area that has what looks to be a tavern.
Well, fuck me running.
And.
Yes, I know I'm dead, guys. It's cool.
This tavern is ethereal. It's not the normal tavern that you would ever see before. You can almost see the people through the walls as you approach it. As you get closer and closer, the jungle around you seems to fade and the sounds of voices seem to get louder and louder, and you hear more people laughing and smiling, murmuring, and all of the things that excite you. And the interesting thing that you see is strange apparition-like things that have, like, no body and just a head floating, but they have a drink somehow that's still hitting their lips. They're all wearing very strange masks, and they're all just having a good, jovial time.
So nothing that I sense to be hostile.
As far as you know, it looks like people are having a very good time.
All right, I go up to the bartender.
All right, so you open up the door to the keep, and you head right to the bartender.
Where was this thing a minute ago?
Welcome, welcome. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Well, yeah. Where did you come from?
I come from here, I come from there, I come from everywhere. Can I fetch you a drink, sir?
Well, duh. Of course you can, but you can still answer the damn question.
I did answer your question.
Yeah, you said everywhere, which means shit.
That'll be 5 ethereal pieces, please.
I ain't got those.
Well, starts heading back to the other side of the bar and starts serving drinks.
Oh my god, I might have to go start a bar fight.
Okay. Man, I'm still too tired. What else do I see around here?
So you see several tables. You see some people playing some cards. Well, apparitional people playing some cards. You see a bard singing. You see several people just having drinks and relaxing. You see an arm wrestling match happening on a table down the to the left. There's quite a few people cheering.
I got winner.
So you got winner, do ya?
Yeah, you pussy.
Sit down, little boy.
Suck mine.
And then I sit down.
So you sit down and you see this very beefy looking ghostly apparition. Has a great white beard, and the muscles on him are almost remnants of the character from Goku's mentor. Super buff old guy with the long beard, but he's apparition form.
Master Roshi?
Yes.
Master Roshi was not ripped.
Yeah, he was. When he took off the turtle guy.
Yeah, he was the turtle guy. He always had a Hawaiian shirt on.
When he went all buff, go buff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay, I remember.
So that's what he looks like. Buff version of buff. Master Roshi.
Santa!
Sit down, little dwarf, and let's play.
All right.
All right, so strength check.
Six.
21.
Fuck.
So he immediately takes you more than halfway to slamming your hand down.
Oh, fuck that noise.
16.
16. You guys don't move. You're in perfect parallel. You grin.
6.
19.
Shit.
Damn. There goes your hand. Next, please.
No. Double or nothing.
Show me your coin.
Well, I don't got any coin.
Get out.
Suck mine. What is this place, anyways?
This is a place where people forget.
Well, that seems silly. You can drink anywhere and forget.
Here's a coin. Go away, dwarf.
Ha! I got a coin. Go back up to the bartender.
The bartender looks at you. Well, well, well. We have a new customer.
I was the same guy a few seconds ago. Here's a coin. Give me something.
Takes the drink, the coin out of your hand and hands you a drink.
Ah, drink it.
You don't taste anything.
What the fuck is this shite?
But you all of a sudden start to change.
Uh-huh.
You begin to have this ethereal, ghostly form.
Oh, fuck. Did I die again?
And you take another sip from your drink.
Oh, no. It would have been in one.
You look down and it's full again.
Oh, cool. Again.
You take another sip from your drink and it is the best dwarven fire water you've ever had in your life. This is creme de la creme primo fire water.
Fuck yeah.
Roll a constitution saving throw for me.
10.
You are shit-faced drunk.
After just one? Fuck.
That's two, technically.
Well, the first one I didn't taste. Fair enough.
And you are passed out.
Cool.
And that's where we'll end tonight's episode.
Aww. Ah, crap. Really?
Shit.
Thank you guys for listening to episode number 8 of All D20. It was a great pleasure to create this, and I just want to give my normal shout out to Sirenscape. That is sirinscape.com for all of your soundscape needs for Dungeons & Dragons. I would also like to give a special shout out to Greg. He is another fellow podcaster that gave me some very useful information. I've been listening to his stuff, Strange People, Weird World. It's a podcast basically about a whole bunch of nerds talking about different strange events and strange people. I highly, highly recommend you guys check it out. He's a pretty cool guy, and the rest of his team is pretty cool as well. So give them a listen. And as always, thank you very much to all of our fans. Please, please, if you have the time, give us that 5-star rating on Apple, on Stitcher, Google Play, etc., etc. It's very, very important to us. Thank you very much. Have a happy new year, everyone, And I look forward to you guys next time. Game on.